Turn to your neighbor and say, let God change you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, let God change you. How many know change is easy? No one, no hands went up that time. We know that change is not an easy thing. And so we're spending quite a bit of time on talking about change because change is not an easy thing that we are. I know that some of you, not me, but I know some people here are probably stubborn in their ways. And we get set in our ways and we have a hard time changing. And so we're talking about letting God change us, letting God change us and walking through what God does when he changes people's lives. And we believe today that God wants to change every one of us, that all of us here today, no matter if you've been a Christian for 1 week or you've been a Christian all your life, does not make a difference today, that we've all got to learn to change and let God change us. And we're learning to walk through this. We're going to talk today about changing your faith. Changing your faith. I know today that faith is a big thing to you, or you wouldn't be here this morning. And maybe you don't have an understanding of what faith is and maybe where I walk in faith and what is faith in my life. Today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about faith, changing our faith, letting God change the way we have faith in God. What does it take to please God? What would you say? What does it take to please God? Some of you may say, well, Pastor, if I'm good and I go through the spiritual ritual in my life, if I go to church every week and if I do this and I do that, I'll please God. And the Bible's very clear about what pleases God. Matter of fact, it's our text right here, Hebrews 11:6, and it says, without what? Without what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, that's a pretty heavy text when you think about it. Without faith, it is impossible. It doesn't say without faith sometimes. Without faith once in a while. It says without faith, it is impossible. It means it never happens. It will not happen, and it cannot happen. Without faith, it cannot happen. Without faith, I cannot please God. It's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Today, God is wanting a relationship with you and me. God is not looking for you to join a religion. God is not looking for you to be a religious task-oriented person. But he's looking for you to develop a relationship with him. And today, we have got to learn to change our faith if we're going to have this kind of relationship with Christ that he's designed for you and I to have. We got to learn to trust him. He wants you to learn to trust him. He wants me and you to learn that it's through trust that we build our faith in him. What is faith anyway? I'm interested in pleasing God. Obviously, you must be interested in pleasing God or you wouldn't be here today. But you're here this morning and you want to please God and you want to know what does it take to please God? Well, it takes faith, according to Scripture, to please God. And faith is like a diamond. It's multifaceted. It has many sides of beauty and aspects of faith. And today we're going to look at these different aspects of faith, that what it takes to please God. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, this is the Hall of Fame for faith guys. Man, this is a great chapter. If you want to study on faith and people who are men and women of faith, man, you read this chapter 11 in Hebrews. It's full of the big hitters of faith. I guess the Hall of Fame right here. Next up to the Hall of Fame is Noah, you know, and all these guys, man, they're there in this book of Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to talk today about that. I'm going to give you six things about building our faith and about changing our faith. Let's read Hebrews 11:1. And it says this, how faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So the first thing in changing our faith is, first of all, we must believe when we don't see it. And this is a hard one. We must believe when we don't see it because faith is visualizing the future, seeing the future even though it's not present. Faith is seeing what God is going to do in your life in the future, even though it's not present. As human beings, we often say things like, I'll believe it when what? I see it. That's the way society is. I'll believe it when I see it. You prove it to me. And God says, no, 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 no. You got it all backwards. You'll see it when you believe it. See, with God, things are different. Society says, I'll believe it when I see it. And God says, no, you'll see it when you believe it. There's something that happens when we learn to trust God and see what God wants to do in our life. Some things you have to believe it in order to see it. Whether you're an architect planning a building, first of all, you got to visualize that building going up and the plans for it. And you see that building built and what it looks like, the finished product, long before they ever take out a hammer and do anything to start. You see and visualize that structure. Whether you're an artist and you visualize the painting that you're going to be painting, the sculpture you're making, you visualize it way before you ever start. Or you're an astronaut and you're and a scientist helping get astronauts to the moon. You visualize men walking on the moon long before it's ever possible. See, it takes faith to move things. It takes faith to get things accomplished in our life. It was Wernher von Braun, the father of the space age, who built the Atlantis rockets and the Saturn rockets that sent the men to the moon. He once said this, "There has never been any significant achievement in human history that was not accompanied by faith." Faith will accompany big achievements in your life. Big milestones will happen. It takes faith to get there. Faith turns dreams into realities. It's believing before you see it. 22 months ago, I had faith that God was going to build a church up, and we would have a church, a Destiny Church, and we had 8 families, but and no building, no place to meet, no money. But we had a faith that God was going to do something. We could see. And I had people ask me all the time, "Pastor, did you ever thank God? Did you ever see that God would move you guys so fast, so where you come along in 22 months, you would already be in the building where you're at on Rangeline Road and having this many people come in?" And I look at them, I say, "Yes. Yes, I did. That's why it's here. That's why I was able to see beyond, even when it was in the infant stage, even when it was just a dream, I was able to see beyond saying, God, this is the plan that you have. I'm trusting you that, God, this is what you're going to do." And so we step out in faith and we see it. Someone asked, and they said when they built Walt Disney World, and when it was finally completed, you know, Walt had died, and he never seen the completed product. And they were standing there on opening day, and someone said, "Man, wouldn't Walt have loved to have seen this place completed?" And the guy turned to him and said, "He already did. That's why it's here." He visualized Disneyland and Disney World way before it was ever built. Even though he didn't live to see opening day, he had already seen it in his mind and his spirit what it could look like. It takes faith to see beyond. To please God. Faith is the first believing when you don't see it. Faith also is this, it's obeying when you don't understand it. Faith is obeying when you don't understand it. God gives us a couple of people here, exhibits. Exhibit A, a man named Noah, here in Hebrews chapter 11, a man named Noah. Just think about the doubts Noah may have had in his mind. Can you imagine if God came to you and I and said, "Hey, I'm going to wipe out the whole nation of this world. Everybody's going to be gone. I'm going to start over with just you and your family. And by the way, it's going to rain." I mean, talk about having faith. Talk about believing God for what God was saying. Look what it says here in Hebrews 11:7. "It was by faith that Noah built the ark to save his family from this flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before." Faith and obey. There's a line between the two. Faith and obey, they go together. Faith, the Bible says, is obeying when I don't understand it. It didn't make sense to build an ark in the middle of the desert for some rain that had never happened before. Can you ask Noah, saying, "God, what is an ark, by the way?" "Oh, it's this thing that floats on the water." "Okay, God. Why do I need to build an ark here in the desert? There's no water around here." "Because I'm going to send rain." "Well, God, what is rain?" "Because at that time it had never rained before. The earth was watered through condensation and had never rained at this point in history." And so he had no idea what rain was. "Well, that's when I kind of take the lake, you know, and I turn it upside down on the earth, okay?" Can you imagine God talking? "All right, God, sure. Sounds good. I'll do it." I mean, you talk about being obedient when it didn't understand it. Being obedient. Noah built the ark when he didn't even know what rain was. Talking about being obedient. It was faith obeying when you don't understand it. There's something that happens when we do this. But Noah, because he had faith, obeyed even when though he didn't make sense. God said, "I want you to build this boat here in the middle of the desert. Not out of the ocean, not around the ocean, not around water, but right here in the middle of the desert." Look what it says here about Abraham in verse 8. "It was by faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out into the country God had promised him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going." Abraham was approximately 75 years old. And God says, "All right, Abraham, you think you're going to Social Security? I'm going to give you some social insecurity. I want you to pack up and go." God, I'm 75 years old. That's all right. I'm going to make you father of many nations." "What? Where am I going?" Don't worry about it. I'll tell you when you get there. How long is it going to take me to get there? Are we there yet? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you when it's time. I mean, you're talking about having faith. And, of course, it was through his obedience that we see the nation of Israel was birthed and came forth. And God kept his promise and made Abraham the father of many nations. But we never would have had that birth out of Abraham if he had not been obedient to God. Even when it didn't make sense, even when he didn't see it, he knew that God was calling him to do something, to step out and do something. And God used his faith to do the impossible. God is wanting you and I to change the way we believe. He wants you to begin to obey him and do things even when you don't see it, even when it doesn't make sense in your life. Abraham has doubts, and God still did the impossible through him. Faith always involves risking. Do you realize that? Faith always involves risking. Some people want to guarantee a success before they obey God. All right, Pastor, you guarantee me that this will happen if I do this. And it doesn't work that way. There are no guarantees. That's why it's called faith. It's called faith, but that's what it takes to please God. We operate in faith to please God. You say, when I see it, I'll do it. That's not called faith, is it? That means you're just doing it because you see it. It takes faith to do the things you don't see. Faith always involves taking a risk. It involves doing things that we don't understand. I remember when we started the church here, Destiny Church, and I remember them coming to me and saying, hey, we'd like for you to start a church here. We got Foursquare wanted to start a church. We believe we want you to start a church here in town. Would you be willing to do that? I prayed about it. I thought God was saying, yes, go for it. But I'm like, God, what are we going to do? We have no money, no building, no place to meet. And if I'd have waited until everything was just lined up, we'd still be waiting today to start Destiny Church. If I'd have waited until we had money in the bank, we'd still be waiting. If I'd have been waiting until we had our own building, we'd still be waiting. If I'd have been waiting until we had a certain number of people, we'd still be waiting. See, faith takes getting out beyond and saying, God, I believe you. When you ask me to do something, I'm trusting that you're going to do it. I'm trusting that you're going to have the answer. I don't see where it's going to come from, but God, you have the plan. God, you know what's going to happen. And we got to trust and believe and obey. Remember when your parents used to tell you things when you were growing up? And you were like, man, they are so stupid. You remember that? Remember that time in your life? You're like, man, my parents, they don't have a clue about anything. How many have some of those teenagers in your house right now? You know what I'm talking about. You know, you're like, oh, man, my parents are just so out of date. They don't know what they're talking about. I remember going through those times in life, my parents didn't know anything. But it isn't amazing as we get older and we find out, you know, my parents knew a little bit more than I gave them credit for. And as you get older than that, you say, you know what, they did a lot more than I gave them credit for. There was a lot of wisdom in the things they were trying to teach me. There was a lot of wisdom in the things they were trying to tell me and advice they were trying to give me. How much more does God wise than our parents? How much more is the wisdom of our Lord versus our parents? Those who do not obey the wisdom of the Lord, what? He's a foolish man. It's a foolish woman. We're foolish people if we do not obey. And the Word of God gives us clear instructions on how to learn to do the things that God has asked us to do. Learn to trust even when it doesn't seem like it makes sense. Even when you say, oh, that doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense, God. You asked me to do this. That don't make sense. There's a plan. There's a reason. Don't ignore what God's asking you to do. If you learn to do whatever God tells you to do, even when it seems absurd, then God can bless your life. You're going to build a life of faith as foundation of building a great life. On the other hand, if you say, I ignore what God says to you, I don't believe that stuff. I'm going to ignore it. That's for somebody else. I don't believe that's really for me today. Then you're going to miss out on what God has for your life. You're going to miss out on the blessings that God has for you and I. You're going to miss out on the blessing that he has destined for you. Trusting in him, giving the faith in him, believing in him. This is what God has asked us to do. And it takes some faith. And it takes obeying even when you don't see it. It's a big thing in our life. And the Bible talks about 1,050 commands of God. We have 1,050 commands of God. And to do these commands, you know what? It takes faith many times to do them because it doesn't make sense. When the Word of God talks about being nice and forgiving those who have hurt you, That makes no sense at all, does it? That makes no sense at all. Well, God, I don't want to forgive that person. They did some horrible things to me. Was God asking you to forgive them because it's just a good thing to do? Why is it? Well, it's now we find out through studies of medical science thousands of years later now that what? That when we hold in bitterness, that it actually eats away at ourselves like cancer. That bitterness and unforgiveness in our life will cause you stress, will cause you sickness to come in your life. It will cause you to be burdened down and not to function, to be depressed. It'll eat away at you. Unforgiveness will eat away at the core of who you are. And so there's a reason. Not only does it show the grace of God, but there is a reason that God does not want us to walk around with unforgiveness in our heart. Not only does it free us up to be forgiven by God, not only does it free us up to show the grace of God the way that he showed us, but there's health issues to go along with forgiving people and letting people go and say, you know what, I forgive you. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't mean it was right what you did, but I'm going to forgive you. No longer are you going to hold me back. I'm going to forgive you for the pain you did in my life. I'm releasing you. And when you do that, you're releasing that thing out of your life, and you can walk in health. You can let go of that stress. You can let go of that depression. See, there's things that come along with the obedience, but looking through the natural, I don't want to do that because they hurt me. It doesn't make sense for me to forgive them. We can't comprehend that, can we? As society today, it doesn't make sense. But there's something that goes along with it. God, there's the wisdom that comes. You say, all right, God, I'm going to learn to forgive these people that have hurt me in my life. There's a new freedom that comes to your life. There's a new joy that comes to your life. There's a new grace that you'll walk in. I mean, it's something that happens. And so there's commands in the Word of God that when we are obedient by faith to do them, even though they don't make sense, there's a reason. God has something for you in store. Well, when I see that part of it, I'll forgive. No, you got to forgive ahead of time. And see, that's where faith is involved. That's where faith comes into play. I can't see myself ever walking without pain of this. So when that pain begins to go away, I'll forgive them. It'll never go away in your life. Faith, by faith, God, I'm going to learn to forgive these people. This is just one of the 1,050 commands throughout Scripture that God has given you and I. Learning to be obedient is walking in faith. God, even though I don't understand this, I'm going to do it anyway. Because it makes sense. Because you have said it, and you are more wiser than I am. And if you have asked me to do this, I'm going to do it, even though it doesn't make sense to my life. And when you do that, you walk in a blessing that you'll never experience before. But to get to that place of being blessed, to get to that zone place we've talked about before, it comes with walking in faith, doing what he's asked you to do. Doing the things that doesn't seem right to do. Number three, faith is giving when I don't have it. Wow. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Giving and faith go together. God uses finances to test our faith. We see that throughout Scripture. Many times God uses finances to test our faith. Have you ever had to decide between tithing and paying your bills? Those of you who tithe today, have you ever had to decide between tithing and paying your bills? I had a conversation this week with somebody in our church. He said, Pastor, I made a decision to pay my tithes. And he goes, I was paying my tithes, and I could see God's blessing in my life because I went through a hard time, man. Things happened in my finances. I was just spending more than I could make, and I was upside down. He goes, I was at the point where I had one more check to write for tithes, and that was it. And if God didn't do a miracle, I was in the hole, and I wasn't getting out of the hole. There was no way out. He said, and on Friday, the bank called me and said, come pick up some checks. We got some checks for you. I mean, right down to the last T, the last time. He went ahead and paid his tithes by faith, and it was on Friday. I mean, you're talking about sweating it out, going into the weekend. But he said, I honored God and went ahead and paid my tithes. And then he goes, man, everything just turned instantly in the following week. Things changed. I got some things happening, and I turned over my finances and everything. Things happened for the better. And he received a call at the very last minute. That's giving in faith. That's giving when you don't have it. And that's when it tests us the most. See, anybody can give when you have it. An atheist can give when he has it. It doesn't take any faith to give when you have it. But faith sometimes is giving when we don't have it. Hebrews 11:4 says this, it was faith that made Abel's offering to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, God approved his giving. Faith, offering, giving. It's all connected together because the Bible here is talking about giving in faith. He said it wasn't what he gave that pleased God, but how he gave it. He gave it in faith that pleased the Lord. It wasn't the amount, but it was the attitude. God doesn't care. God doesn't care about the size of your check. He cares about the attitude. Are you being obedient? Are you giving the 10% that I've asked you to give? Are you giving for a special offering when I put it in your heart to give to our missionary or to our project? Are you being obedient to what I've asked you to give? That's why many times when we have a special offering, I ask you to bow your head and ask God, God, what would you have me to give? Now, it'd be real easy for me to say, all right, I want 100 people to raise their hands and say they'll give $100. That's real easy to do as a pastor, but I don't want that. I want you to be obedient to what God is speaking to you, because that's how you grow in faith. I want you to pray. I want you to hear God drop some numbers in your heart and say, all right, God, this is kind of a stretch for me this week if I do this. But you do it and watch God bless what you do. It builds your faith. You see, we're being obedient to what God's doing, and we're teaching how to be obedient to what God is doing in our life. You can give out of reason, or you can give out of revelation. You see, Pastor, what's the difference between giving out of reason and revelation? When you give out of reason, you look at your checkbook and say, all right, I paid this, paid that, done this, did that, all right. I can give this certain amount, and it won't affect me. And we'll reason, all right? I can give this away. You know what? Anybody can do that. Anybody can look and say, all right, I got this much to give, and give it. But when you have a revelation of who God is and what God wants to do in your life, you say, God, I've got a revelation that says that when I give 10%, Lord, of what you've asked me to give, there's a blessing that comes to my family. There's a blessing that comes to my life. There's a zone that I begin to live in, a sweet spot of success that God has for me and my family. And I'm going to give out that revelation. It changes the way you live by faith. It's a faith that happens. It's a pleasing to God when we learn to give by faith. God blesses that kind of giving. 2 Corinthians 8:3 says, because of their great joy, they gave even more than they could afford. Because of their great joy, they gave even more than they could afford. I've heard people say this, if God gives it to me, I'll give it to you. How many? I was thinking this week, and I'm sure many of you, what would I have done if I had won that $300 million lottery this week? I don't act like I'm the only one that thought about that. Okay, I know you're one of you was thinking, man, what would I do if I won that $300 million? I was thinking about the tithe off of that. Man, the tithe's off of $300 million. That'd be $30 million. You know how many churches we could plant with $30 million? Mission field? Things we could do. I mean, think of all the things we could do for God with that kind of money. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I just can't afford to give, but, you know, if I win this money, if I get this inheritance, if I get this happen, I'm going to give. No, you won't. You can't give the $10 you have now. How are you going to give the $1,000 you have later? You can't give the $10 you have now. How are you going to give the $100 later? How are you going to give $1,000 later? It's all about the attitude, the spirit of giving. Living by faith is giving even when you don't have it. It's saying, God, I'm trusting that you're bigger than my finances. God, you're bigger than these bills. And God, I'm going to be obedient to your word, and I'm going to allow you to work it out. You're going to bless what I have. And I have never, ever seen anyone, have met anyone who did not put God to the test here. As Scripture says, God says, in this one area, you can put God to the test. I have never met anyone who put God to the test, and he did not come through for them. Does it mean you will never go to a time of having some bad times? No, we all do. Man, we all do. We all have times when it's thin, and we think, God, let this check pass. God, hope it. Get this. We all have those times in our life. But when you're faithful, say, God, I'm believing you. I'm telling you, things always work out for the good, for those who trust in the Lord. And they work out, and things happen when you didn't expect it to happen. 2 Corinthians 9 says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Learning to give, even when we don't have it. That's a change in our faith. That's a big thing. Number four, faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. Faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. And that's the opposite of our culture, isn't it? That's the very opposite of the day we live in. We do everything based off our feelings. Or I feel like coming today, so I came. I didn't feel like coming today, so I slept in. I felt like doing this, and so I did it. I didn't feel like doing it, so I didn't do it, Pastor. We base our feelings on how we gauge our actions. That's the way we do as human beings. That's how society is functioning. We do everything off of the way that we feel. Let me say this to you. Mature people live by their commitments, not by their emotions. Mature people live by their commitments, not by their emotions. Because your emotions do what? Word of God says our emotions are like the waves of the sea. They rise up one day and they go down the next. They're up and down and up and down. And I see people who come into church who are living on their emotions. And one week they're high for God. The next week they're down in the dumps. Next week God is great. Next week God is bad. Next week God is doing everything. Next week, when's God going to do this for me? Because we're allowing our emotions to gauge how we serve God. Let me say, faith is not letting your emotions gauge how you serve God. Faith is saying, God, no matter what, I'm going to serve you. No matter what, I'm going to live for you. No matter what, I'm going to believe you. No matter what, I'm committed to you, Father. No matter what, my commitment to you is greater than any other commitment I have. Can I let you in on a secret? I don't always feel like being good. Don't tell nobody that, okay? I hate for that to get out of here. And people think a pastor in town admitted that. Let me tell you a secret. I don't always feel like reading my Bible. God help us. I don't always feel like praying. Oh, no, Pastor. Can I tell you another thing? I don't always feel like being nice. I had a guy this last week cut me off. School parking lot. Got out of his car and was mouthing off. And tell you what, there's everything I could do not to put that car in reverse and get on my car. If I'd have been in another town, I probably would have done it that day. Okay, I'm just be honest. I can see the headline now. Pastor. Okay, that's why I didn't do it. But I don't always feel like doing the right thing. But my commitments to God says, God, I'm going to do it even though. Because if I do it when I feel like it, you know what happens? Satan will make sure you never feel like doing the right thing. Satan knows your emotions. He's going to play on them. So if the only time I read my Bible is when I feel like it, I'll never read it because I'll never feel like it. If the only time I pray is when I feel like it, it'll only happen because I'll never feel like it. If the only time I get up and be committed and do what God's asked me to do is when I feel like it, it'll probably never happen because I don't always feel like it. Now, once I begin to do it in faith, I'm always glad I did. And I always feel a lot better. And I always feel good about myself and feel good about my relationship with God and feel the joy that comes with serving God. But sometimes I don't always feel like doing it. But my commitment to God, my faith to God says, God, even though you're bigger than my emotion, and God, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. And I work through that. You know what it's called? It's called being a mature Christian. It's called maturing. Mature people go on their commitments, not on their emotions. And having faith is saying, you know what, God? I'm going to believe you. I'm going to persist. I'm not going to give up, even when I feel like giving up. Believing when I don't feel like it. Satan's going to harass you. Let me just tell you right now, Satan's going to harass you. We've been praying. Let me just tell you this. We've been praying on Wednesday nights. We've been doing a lot of heavy praying on Wednesday nights for what God's doing in Destiny Church in this community. And how many know we've seen a lot of breakthrough, a lot of change over the last 8 weeks. And this series has been changing for a lot of people in their lives. We're seeing a spiritual climate of this church change. We're seeing things happen. Satan doesn't like that. So what's he going to do? He's going to fight us, isn't he? He's going to fight you. And I warned the people in our program, he does not like you. Satan does not like you praying. Be ready. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to have things come against you. Man, as I talk to people, I say, man, Pastor, you're right. I'm feeling under a heavier attack more than usual. Because why? Because he does not like you praying. He doesn't like you doing what you're doing. A couple Sundays ago, we came in and I came up to get a stage and my microphone was missing. And we're in the middle of service. So I just gotten in out of town and boy, went to get, where's the microphone at? I don't know. Can't find it. After church, I said, it got stolen. Someone stole our microphone. I was chapped. I'll be honest with you. I was chapped. I don't like using that cord of microphone. I get caught up in here and I'm trying to use it, you know. I was chapped. I hope some of you probably realized that. Maybe you did pick up. I was chapped, man. I didn't like it. I was ready to go bust down some doors. People I thought I may have done it. I mean, I was not happy about it. But I took it and I said, God, you know what? Satan is, we just come off a great service the week before. Satan is trying to distract. He's trying to stop what God's doing around here and get me unfocused. And I just turned around and said, you know what? Satan, we're going to buy a better microphone than we had than the one you stole. That's what I said. And we did. We bought a brand new microphone, and the vocals sound great with it. And then we prayed on Wednesday night. We got together. We prayed. We went around and put our hands over all the instruments and all the everything we have, our microphones, prayed for protection. And I prayed that whoever stole that microphone, that God would just put conviction on them. Then we show up this week, and that microphone's sitting on the front desk. everything was stolen. I talk about prayer works, okay? Prayer works. But if you let distraction stop you from what God has for you, you'll always stay there. Because Satan will try to distract you. He will try to stop you. Don't stop. Hebrews 11:27 says this. It was by faith that Moses left Egypt and was not afraid of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. Wow. It's by faith that Moses kept on doing what seemed impossible. He knew that Pharaoh was mad. And he knew that Pharaoh could retaliate. But it was by faith he said, you know what? I'm going to go for it. How do you be persistent? The Bible tells us in this last phrase. He says, he held to purpose like a man who could see the invisible. That's how you stay persistent. That's how you walk through it. Even though you don't feel like it, even though you don't see it, you still see it in the spirit. In the spirit, you say, God, I see where you're taking me. God, I see the destiny you have for me and my children. I see the destiny you have for my life. God, I see where you're taking me. And I stay hold of what you got. Some of you here today, and I'll be honest with you, if you were to be honest with me and say, Pastor, you feel like quitting. I guarantee there's people in this building today that you feel like quitting. You feel like quitting on your marriage. You feel like quitting on your family. You feel like quitting on God. You feel like quitting on things. I'm here to tell you today, do not quit. Don't give up. God has you to hear today for this reason, for you to hear me. If you don't get anything else today, let God speak to you today and say this, do not quit. Do not give up. Be encouraged. Begin to walk in faith and say, God, this is a faith time in my life. This is a time when you want me to walk when I don't feel it. Wow. I share the illustration many times in our life that when our kids come and I walk through the door and they just, I haven't done anything. You know, if I walk through the door with a bag full of Toys R Us stuff, they love me, don't they? Dad, you're the best. Yeah, yeah. Why'd you get us? You know, and I come back from the conference retreat. They always want to know, Dad, what'd you bring us? You know, they're going through my suitcase before I ever get out of the car. They want to dig, see, what did I bring them? You know, great, you got this new T-shirt. You know, whatever. You know, pulling out stuff. And they want to know I got them. They love their dad. But you know what? It's when I walk through the door and I don't have anything in my hand. I've had a bad day. Maybe I've been stressed out. And I haven't been the best dad that day. Maybe I haven't shown the attention I needed to show that day, and I walk through the door, and they say, Dad, I'm glad you're home. I love you. And they get in my lap, and they give me those butterfly kisses, and they hug on me. Dad, I love you. That means more to me than anything else. How much does our Father, when we just say, God, I love you. I trust you, not because of what you're doing for me, not because of something you gave me today, not because I won the lotto yesterday, not because I got my new car yesterday. Not because you gave me a promotion in my job. Not because you healed my body. But God, I just love you because I know that, God, no matter what I go through in my life, you're going to be there. You're going to be my Father. You'll be my Abba Father in my life. God, you'll be my dad. God, you're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. And no matter what I go through in my life, I know that, God, you will lead me through it. That is faith. That's faith. And that's the place that God wants us to be. Not with our emotions. Not because of things happen good to us, but just because we have a revelation of who he is in our life. Number five, faith is thanking God before I receive it. A good example of this story is in Joshua 11:30. We talked about this a few weeks ago. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after the people had marched around it seven times. We see Joshua and taking the children of Israel to the promised land. And it's time for them to go to the promised land. And we talked about them having to march around in faith when nothing was happening. It was by faith. It was by faith. They marched around it. And God brought it to them. It's a big thing in our life. They begin to thank God that these walls are coming down. And they did that. They said, God, we thank you. These walls are coming down. It says on the seventh time they gave a shout of praise, thanking God. They just give a shout and lift their voice up and say, God, wow, you're giving us the city. That's a hard thing to do when there's two 30-foot walls standing in front of you. But they praise God and God, you're giving us the city. Hallelujah. And they gave a shout unto God. And of course, the walls came down. And they overtook the most powerful city in that region. Faith is believing God is doing something right now, even though I don't see it. That he's working behind the scenes, that he's answering the prayer already. That's why on Sunday mornings that we ask and we pray, and we have prayer time for those who need prayers in our life and needs in our life. And at the end, we say, all right, God, now we're going to thank you. Now, do I get up and say, all right, we're going to pray again for all those who are sick? Do we need to do that? No. But we come into agreement and say, God, I'm thanking you that even though I know that you're working on my behalf, even though, God, you're answering my need, even though, God, you're healing my body. And see, there's something that happens when we begin to praise God in faith. Mark 11:24 says, when you pray, ask for something, then believe that you have received it. He's telling us how to pray. He says, when you pray, what do? We ask God. Then he says the second part, then we believe if you have received it. Now, we're good about asking. Where we fall short many times is the second part, believing that you have received it, and you will be given what you have asked for. See, it's a combination. Not only do I ask, but then I got to believe. I ask, and then I have faith that, God, you're going to answer my prayer. And so I ask God, God, I need you to heal my body. Do I get up the next morning and say, God, I need you to heal my body. And at night, God, I need you to heal my body. Next morning, I get up and say, God, in case you didn't hear me the first time,
yo, God, I need you to heal my body.
Maybe you didn't heal me.
Oh, God.
Like a changed position is going to help God hear me any better. I mean, we ask God. No, we ask God, and then we say, God, now I thank you that, God, you are healing my body. And when I get up tomorrow and I'm in pain, I don't feel good. God, boy, I don't feel good, but God, I thank you that you are healing my body. God, I thank you that, God, you are hearing my prayer. I thank you, God. See, it's an act of faith to begin to thank the Lord for what he's already done and what he's already going to do in our life. I ask him, and then I don't beg him every day the rest of my life. I ask him, and then I move into agreement with him and say, God, I thank you that, God, you have got the answer already on the way. I thank you, God, that no matter what happens, you're in control of my life. Because God answers in different ways in our life. If you wait until after you had prayer has been answered to say thank you, it's not faith, is it? It's easy to say, thank you, God, you healed my body when he's healed you. It didn't take no faith to thank God then, does it? It happened. Boy, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. That's not faith. That's celebration. That's thankfulness. That's being thankful for what God has already done. There's a place for that. We give thanks to God for what he's done. But faith is saying, God, even though I'm sick, I thank you that, God, you are healing my body. God, I thank you that even though I've got these bills, God, you are bigger than my finances. God, I thank you, Lord, that even though I have a strange relationship with my spouse or my children, I have some things happening. God, I'm thanking you, God, that you are restoring those relationships in my life. I thank you, God, that you are meeting my needs on my behalf. God, I thank you. I thank you. What do you have need of today? What have you asked God for in your life? Matter of fact, can we just take time to do that today? Let's just lift our hands where you're at and say, God, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, God, that you are meeting my need. Whatever it is you've asked God for. Now, I want you to just come into agreement and say, God, I thank you, God, that you are meeting this need in my life. God, I thank you, Lord. We lift our hands as a sign of surrender to you, God, saying, God, we thank you, Lord, that, God, you are working on our behalf. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are an awesome God and that you are in control. And, God, your ways are better than my ways. And I thank you, God, that you have the best interests in my life. I thank you, God, that you know what's best for me. God, I thank you, Lord. I trust you. Faith is thanking God in advance, believing the answer's already happened. You're just waiting to see it. That means if God tells you to go after Moby Dick in a rowboat, you bring a tartar sauce. Having some faith. And the last thing here, faith is trusting. Trusting if I don't get it. Trusting if I don't get it. Some people talk, make God like a vending machine. How many know vending machines don't always give us what's best for us? There's a lot of things in vending machines around this community that are not good for you. There's a lot of things in those vending machines that are not good. And so we don't always need things. And some of us here, we have our idea of God is like a vending machine. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I want this. God, I want that. Well, Pastor, you said God would meet my needs, and I thanked him. And I didn't get anything. Maybe he is answering your prayer, and you just don't know it. Maybe you didn't need, but you were asking for. How many of you pray for a relationship early on when you were young? You're like, God, I could never live without this person. God, please make him love me and see me for the person I am. And 20 years later, you run into him like, oh, God, thank you. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from that person. God knows what's best. Even though we want certain things in our life, he sees what's best for you. He sees what's best for me. God knows. And we got to learn to trust him even though we don't get what we want. That's faith. Even though the healing doesn't come when I want it. Even though I don't get the answer to prayer right when I need it, I think I want it. He knows when I need it. He knows what I need. And having faith and saying, God, all right, this is what I want. This is what I need. But God, no matter what happens, you know best. And I'm going to submit to whatever you do in my life. I'm going to take whatever answer you give me. If you say no to this, that means there must be something better you have in store for me. If this relationship doesn't work out, then God, there must be a better spouse you've got waiting for me. So I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. God, if you say no to this job, there must be a better paying job that has Sundays off. That's better for me. I think I'll wait and receive your job, God. When God says no, it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It means he does love you. Do I give my kids everything they want? No. If I gave my kids everything they want, they'd be walking around with two cans of soda, IV'd right into their arms, with a case of Skittles on their back. And they wouldn't do anything but eat sugar all day long, play PlayStation all day long. They wouldn't go to school. They wouldn't do that, would they? I don't give my kids everything they want because I know what's best for them. Our Father knows what's best for us. And living in faith, saying, God, I believe that you are the parent here. I believe that, Father, you know what's best for me. And I submit, even though I have need, even though I want this, God, even though you choose not to answer the way I thought you would answer, I still trust you. I still believe in you. That is faith. Let's bow our heads today. The heads bowed today as we close. I want to ask you this question. I believe today that God is wanting to increase the faith in your life. I believe today God's wanting you and I to learn to walk in a deeper relationship with him. He's wanting to change our relationship with him. But in order to change, there's got to be a change in faith. There's got to be a change in the way we believe. There's got to be a change in the way we respond to him through faith. And with our heads bowed today, if God's speaking to you today, say, Pastor, as you're speaking, God's just speaking to me. I've got to learn to change the way I trust him. I got to begin to change the way I thank him. I got to begin to change the way that I respond to God. If that's you, God, was speaking to you today, any point in this message, can you just raise your hands and Pastor, that was me? Yeah, thank you. Several hands. Several people. Yeah, thank you for being honest. Thanks. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that was me, man. I need to raise my hand and say, God was speaking to me today. I need to change my faith. Yeah, thank you. Several hands went up today. Listen, I believe today. I want you to look at me. I believe today. Today can be a new starting point in your life. When it comes to faith, it can be the beginning of a great relationship that God has for you that you have not, a higher dimension in him that you haven't lived yet. A new place, a blessing, a new place of security in him, a new place of peace in him that says, God, I'm just giving you more of my life. I'm giving you more of me, allowing you to change who I am. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I'm going to pray for you. Several hands were raised today. And so I'm going to pray a closing prayer over you, and I'm going to stretch my hands towards you today. And if you lifted your hands today and God spoke to you, I want you to receive this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now I pray for every person who raised their hand. Father, through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I speak change in our faith, Lord. Change in our faith. Lord, even when we don't feel like it, Lord, we're going to learn to trust you and be committed to you. Even when we don't see it, God, we're going to learn to believe you. Lord, even when we don't get the answer that we want, God, we're going to learn to know that, God, that you know best in our life. And Father, may you change our faith. Lord, may we learn what it means to walk in a walk that's pleasing to you. And I pray today, Father, that as we preach the word and taught on the word what it means to live in faith, I pray for those who raised their hands today, may the power of your Holy Spirit today empower them. Empower them today to God. Empower them to live a life of faith that's pleasing to you, trusting in you, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak forth it. May it go forth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Receive that word today. Receive that word today. If that's you today, you raised your hand, I want you to receive that prayer today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, we're going to learn to thank you, God, in advance. Quit begging you, and now we're going to learn to thank you, God, and trust in you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. People of God say, amen and amen. God bless you today. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Come, let's have a good time of fellowship together. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.